I got the text early this morning. Keith said that they were pretty sure that Jess was in labor. And there was a little part of me that thought about texting back and saying, take a nap because your days of sleeping are now over. But I didn't. Well, if you have a Bible with you, I want to encourage you to open it up to the book of Matthew. And today we're going to be in chapter 7. And if you don't happen to have a Bible with you, there's probably one in the pew directly in front of you. So feel free, go ahead and grab it. Again, we're going to be in Matthew, which is the first book in what we refer to as the New Testament. And today we're going to be in chapter 7. As you're making your way there, just want to give a quick reminder. One of the things that we do here at Trinity Church is we have the opportunity to ask questions live regarding the scripture that we're going to be unpacking today. So as we're moving through the text and we're kind of talking about it, if you find that a question arises in you, I want you to feel free to pull out your cell phone. You can text that question into the number that's on the screen. It'll be up there through the duration of the service. And then what happens is it's going to go to the sound booth, and then we'll put them up and we'll answer them to the best of our ability or commit to finding the answer for you. So the other week, my son and I, we went to a video gaming store because he wanted to get a subscription card so that way he could play some of his video games online with his buddy. So we drove down to Beaver Dam, and we went to the store, and we walked around. We were looking at some stuff, but we couldn't find the card that we needed. So we asked the gentleman who was working there if he could help us out. I told him what we were looking for, and really with an overly condescending tone, he proceeded to tell us how that wasn't what we actually wanted. He then pointed to a different card at 3.5 times the cost and said, no, this is what you want. So I proceeded to tell him, I said, I think that has more features than what we need. I don't think we need that quite expensive. And then he continued to tell us just how little we knew and that we needed to buy the card at 3.5 times the cost. Well, as he's doing this and I'm contemplating in my head just leaving, I noticed that there was another customer kind of standing there watching us have this conversation. Or to say it this way, this gentleman had this conversation with me. And I leaned over to the gentleman and I asked him, I said, do you know what I'm talking about? And he's like, oh yeah, man, you just need this right here. And he points to exactly what we had been looking for. So we purchased it and we left. And then later that night over dinner, I lamented to my wife regarding how it seems like people are becoming ruder. But the problem isn't that people are just becoming ruder. Deception, violence, gossip, bullying, and apathy have tragically become an often occurrence in our lives. We experience them firsthand. We hear about them through the painful testimonies of others. And when we do, there's this voice that cries out within us, isn't there? There's this voice that rises up inside of us and says, this needs to stop. I'm sure you, like me, have experienced those moments, and you have heard that voice, whether you have been the recipient or you hear the painful stories of others. Do you ever ask where that voice comes from? How we all experience that same emotion, that same response when we see injustices in our world, when we see people berating or treating others in ways that are dishonoring. The author C.S. Lewis in the book Mere Christianity, he called this the law of nature. And he says this, that it comes from our Creator. That the voice of our Creator echoes within us. And it tells us this, that it needs to stop. Now, for those who are joining us for the first time today, or maybe you've been away for a time, we're nearing the end of a series here at Trinity Church, in which we set out to discover what it means to live a blessed life. Now, there's no doubt about this. Everyone wants to be blessed. But how often do we stop and ask the question, well, what exactly does it mean to be blessed? Now, what's commonly put forth as evidence of being blessed are the things that really, we could say it this way, they make for a comfortable life, right? The things we tend to point to, things like certain luxuries, certain positions, personal relationships. Yet, interestingly, although Jesus repeatedly spoke of being blessed, and what is likely his most famous and most extensive teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, he never mentions any of these comforts. Instead, Jesus taught that the blessed life is one that flows from following him. According to the Sermon on the Mount, as we have discovered and have been discovering, true blessing is to have our life shaped by living in relationship with Jesus. And really, what the Sermon on the Mount does, it is a guide that helps us understand and therefore walk in the blessed life that God wants us to experience. And today, what we're going to discover is that the blessed life that God wants for us impacts how we treat others. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at verse number 12. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now, chances are, at some point in life, you have either heard this very verse or some paraphrase of it. We even have a name for this verse, don't we? What do we call it? The golden, see, we all know this, the golden rule. Scholar James Boyce, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, says, "The golden rule, which is found in the 7th chapter of Matthew, verse 12, is probably the most universally praised statement that Jesus ever made. It's been called the topmost peak of social ethics, the Everest of all ethical teachings." Do unto others, or do to others, what you want them to do to you. You know, religious or not, I think we can all agree that if people did this, well, this world would be a lot better place, wouldn't it? Now, what's interesting about the golden rule is that while most know what it says, might even be able to repeat it verbatim, we actually tend to interpret it the opposite of what it actually teaches. Meaning this, we tend to hear it as a negative command instead of a positive one. Now, when I say negative command, I don't mean this. I don't mean that it's somehow bad or immoral. It's not what I mean. What I mean is we tend to think of the golden rule as a warning of what not to do. We tend to think of the golden rule as a call not to do to others what we don't want them to do to us. If I don't want someone to lie to me, then I shouldn't lie to them. Now, interpreting this command in this fashion, it shouldn't really, or it isn't, surprising. Actually, the idea of not doing certain unpleasant things to others, we know this, that it actually outdates the Sermon on the Mount. Roughly 5 centuries before the birth of Jesus, Confucius wrote, "Do not do to others what you do not want them to do to you." Nearly three centuries before Jesus' birth, the apocryphal book Tobit, which is still used by our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, Anabaptists, and some Lutherans, states in Tobit 4:15, it says, "Do that to no man which thou hatest." Think about the law of Moses. Many commandments in the Torah are written in this way: do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, do not covet. Even the laws of our land are in this fashion: do not murder. Now, had Jesus said, "Do not do to others what you don't want them or what you do not want them to do to you," well, that statement really wouldn't have been that revolutionary. Right? People would have gone, well, of course, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. That idea, it's common to us. Which is probably why we tend to hear Jesus' words and interpret them in that fashion. But notice, that's actually not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. Instead, Jesus takes that statement, that common statement, and he flips it 180, and he says this instead: do to others what you want done to you. Jesus takes it from a passive, negative statement to an active and positive command. The Life Application Bible Commentary states, by stating this positively, Jesus made the statement even more significant. It may be easy to refrain from harming others, but it is much more difficult to take the initiative in doing something good for them. A person may be able to keep the negative form of the law by avoiding sin, but to keep the positive form requires action. You see, the golden rule, it isn't a passive command to refrain. It's an active command to do. To do to others what we want them to do for us. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, again, what he's doing is he's flipping things upside down. Which isn't really rare for the Sermon on the Mount, is it? As we've noted throughout this series, we're in week 17. This is the unending series. As we have, right, we've seen, the Sermon on the Mount is challenging. It challenges us to embrace a way of living that doesn't come natural to us. To do things like rejoice when we're persecuted for our faith. To pray for our enemies. To trust God for what we need daily, so that instead of hoarding what we have, we can freely give it for kingdom work. To control our internal desires, like anger and lust. To not mislead one another. To help each other grow in our journey of following Jesus. Jesus has been sharing this with his disciples here in the Sermon on the Mount. And after he has shared all these things here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus really kind of, if we could say it this way, he summarizes everything with this one statement in regards to our relationship with others. Do unto others what you want them to do to you. Scholar, New Testament scholar David Turner writes in his commentary on Matthew, he says, all of Jesus' teachings since Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, about the greater righteousness necessary for his kingdom is summarized here in the golden rule. It's summarized right here. Think about it. If we do unto others what we want them to do to us, then won't we fulfill the Sermon on the Mount, the parts of the Sermon on the Mount that teach us about how we're to relate to others? If we do unto others what we want them to do to us, will we not follow the way of forgiveness, the way of generosity, the way of self-control, the way of humility, the way of peacemaking that Jesus has been calling his disciples to? Now, just to stress how important this is here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, let us remember that when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? Right? When a person comes up to Jesus and they're like, all right, if you could summarize, right? If you could say, like, what is the most important thing here? Jesus says this, love God, I'm going to paraphrase, love God with everything that you have and love others as yourself. Here at Trinity Church, our vision statement, we could say it this way, our defining motto states it this way, to fully love God and sacrificially serve others. Now, when I was in school, when I was young, my least favorite class was English. I did not enjoy it. Maybe you were like me. But I remember this, that our teacher taught us that there was a difference between nouns and verbs. That nouns are words that identify people, places, things. They define. But verbs are used to describe action. You know, sometimes we think of Christianity as a noun. We define it with doctrinal statements. Now, let me say, before some people get concerned, correct theology is absolutely necessary. I have dedicated my life to studying and teaching the Bible. It's the one thing I'm kind of good at. All the rest of it, not so much. But Christianity isn't just a description. It isn't just a definition. It's not just doctrinal statements. Christianity is a verb. It is a faith to be lived out. When it comes to others, we're not called to passively don't do or avoid this. We're called to actively do unto others what we want them to do to us. Do I want others to consider my thoughts and feelings? Do I want others to value me beyond what I can do for them? Do I want others to honor the covenant of marriage that I have with my wife? Do I want others to look out for and protect my children? Do I want others to offer me assistance in times of need? Do I want others to not degrade me or speak harshly or falsely about me? Do I want others to care for me enough that they would be willing to sacrifice for me? Then I must do the same thing for others. The golden rule here in Matthew 7, it isn't I won't burn down your house because I don't want you to burn down mine. The golden rule is I will help you build your house because I want you to help me build mine. Now, as I was researching this verse, it's amazing how much you can get on one verse. I came across a little teaching, really, that is designed to help followers of Christ embrace this way of actively doing unto others what we want them to do to us. And when I first came across it, I'll be honest, my reaction was that it was a bit hokey, and I kind of ignored it. But it stuck with me. And over a course of a few days, it kept on like coming back up inside of me, and I was like, all right, maybe there's a little bit more to this than I gave it credit for. So I want to share it with you. And again, I understand some of us might look at this and we might go, it's a little overly simplistic. It's a little hokey. But I wonder if maybe that's where we need to start. Maybe we need something that will just stick with us and that we can chew on, if you will, as we go throughout our day and our week. And really what it is, it's a play off of a statement that Jesus made earlier in the Sermon on the Mount regarding being salt in the world. And therefore, it uses this word salt, S-A-L-T, as an acronym for how to embrace the golden rule. And I want to share it with you. S-A-L-T, right? We all can remember that. The first one is this. So how do we embrace this? First, we serve. We are called to serve others. But what we like is we like to be served. Right? We like others to make sure things are arranged for us, to make sure things are the way that we like them. But yet to do unto others, we have to serve them. Jesus calls us to serve others. Here at Trinity Church, I believe this. I believe that God has a plan and a mission for this church. Our board of elders met last week and we talked and we prayed and we dreamed and we asked this question about what does God want for Trinity Church? How does God want us to show his love and his mercy and his grace here in the city of Waupun? And we realize this, that if we're going to do those things, that we all need to serve. We need more people serving here at Trinity. There is outreach that we want to engage in. There are needs in our community that need to be met. There are opportunities that are going unfulfilled, if I can be honest, because we simply don't have enough people serving. And there are things that our board has to say no to. That's a great idea. We would love to do it, but we can't. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. We are called to serve. If we are going to obey the golden rule, it begins by making a decision. And I'm going to use this from our vision statement here at Trinity Church, to willingly sacrifice to serve others. To willingly sacrifice. So we got to serve. A, appreciate. We need to appreciate other people. Let me encourage you today to take the time to tell someone that you appreciate them. To tell someone thank you. To do something special for someone to show that you appreciate them. It could be a card, it could be an email, it could be an invitation to lunch. It could simply be this. It could be a pat on the back with a warm smile that says, I appreciate you. Maybe you're in a position in school or on a team or at work that maybe you can go to bat for someone. Maybe you can get them the recognition that they need, the appreciation that they need that they haven't been getting. The point is this. Just as you and I don't want to feel that what we do goes unnoticed, neither does anyone else. And that means if we're going to fulfill the golden rule, we have to take the initiative to show appreciation for others. So we serve, we appreciate. Three is we love. Now, when I say love, right, that word has so much baggage attached to it. Sometimes, right, we hear love and our mind goes to kind of like Hollywood, hot pink, mushy, butterflies in the stomach. We can't have those feelings for everyone, and if we did, well, that would be weird, right? We don't need Hollywood love, we need biblical love. And the Apostle Paul tells us exactly what that is. It's interesting. We always read the verse I'm going to share. We always read it at weddings. Like it's the wedding verse. This is the follower of Jesus verse. It's great for marriage, but it's for everyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus. And it's in 1 Corinthians 13. It starts in verse 4. Apostle Paul writing. He says, love is patient and it's kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I was thinking about that. And what hit me is maybe another way of saying this whole thing would be nice. I know it sounds so simplistic, right? But didn't we start today by realizing that our world's becoming ruder and tougher? Imagine if Christians, those who follow Jesus, imagine if we loved the way Jesus loves. Where people would go, man, that guy, that gal, they're so nice. They just love people. What is it that makes you live this way? Let me tell you about Jesus and what he has done for me. So we serve people, we appreciate people, we love people. And number four is we treasure people. Every person has been created to be an image bearer of God. Therefore, every person has value and needs to be treated as such. And we need to understand this. And you can look this up in the book of Matthew chapter 25. So just a few pages from where we just were in 7. Jesus says this, that what we do to others, we're actually doing to him. Let me say that again. I think at some point I'm going to do a whole series on Matthew 25. Because Matthew 25 I find to be one of the most challenging texts in the Bible. Jesus says this, that what we do to others, we're actually doing to him. And he says this, on the day of judgment, when we stand before him, we will give an account for how we treat others. We need to treasure people. No one is expendable. No one is worthless. There are no throwaway people. There are people created to bear God's image. Period. Case closed. And we need to treasure all of them. Serve, appreciate, love, treasure. It's simplistic, I know. But imagine if we did this. Imagine if we looked at other people when we left our house in the morning or in the afternoon or whatever it is that we go out. And what if we looked at other people and we thought, how could I serve you? How could I appreciate you? How could I love you? How could I treasure you? If we did that, would we not do this? Would we not fulfill the golden rule? To do unto others as we want others to do to us? Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, it's an awesome name, in his work, Studies in the Sermon on the Mount, says, our Lord did not preach the Sermon on the Mount in order that you and I might comment about it. We like to do that, right? We like to comment about Scripture. It says, he didn't give it to us so we can comment on it, but in order that we might carry it out. Do you want to be blessed? According to the Sermon on the Mount, true blessing flows from following Jesus. And Jesus tells us here in Matthew 7, verse 12, that following him includes doing for others what we want them to do for us. So my prayer for you today is that you will walk in the blessed life that God has for you. One of following Jesus and guided by the golden rule. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day to be together as your church, to worship, to fellowship, and to learn from your word. As we have examined this passage in Matthew's gospel, Lord, we recognize that you are calling us to a way of living that actively calls us to treat others in the same manner we desire them to treat us. So we pray, Lord, help us to do this. We confess that it's much easier to simply refrain from doing negative things than it is to actively engage in good works. Yet this is the life that you are calling us to through Jesus. So we ask, Lord, that you would empower us. We ask that you would motivate us. We ask that you would show us how we can live into this golden rule. And as we do, we pray that others would take notice, not so that we could be praised, but that so opportunities could open to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the joy and the hope that we have that our sins are forgiven and that we have the promise of eternal life, not because of what we have done, but because, Jesus, you gave yourself on the cross in our place. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would continue to transform us, mold us into the people that we were created to be. Reveal to us opportunities to serve, to appreciate, to love, and to treasure people. And lastly, Father, we pray that if there is anyone listening to this message here live or maybe through the internet, and if they don't have a relationship with you, Jesus, we pray that through the revealing of the Holy Spirit, you would reveal yourself and that you would lead them to a place of faith and repentance. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.